Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Coleman Taylor Transmission, servicing Central Mississippi for over 60 years. Their ASE-certified technicians offer dependable transmission services, a warranty, and record services. Call Coleman Taylor today for all your transmission needs.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night to the Rebel Report. Just two more Saturdays. That's all you got to suffer. Two more Saturdays without college football. That's it. Now I know it's week zero and the best game is Iowa State, Kansas State, and Dublin, but who cares? Two more Saturdays. That's all you have to suffer through, and then college football will be here. And I'm glad that you guys are here again on this Sunday night. We actually had beautiful weather today for the first Saturday of August. I hope you guys got out and enjoyed it a little bit. And welcome in. We're here to talk about Ole Miss training camp. Have we learned anything yet? Just 1 week of practice, not even really a full week of practice. Lane Kiffin's only spoken once. I don't believe that he will do so again until Thursday. So you still have more practices happening. If all works out, I should be there for Tuesday's practice, or at least for the media viewing period of Tuesday's practice, if all works out. We're doing back-to-back days in Oxford for the radio show. Tuesday, like I told you guys, is one that I don't think you're able to come to. But Wednesday, we'll be at the library. So come see us at the library, 3 to 6. Richard has found his way, found a way to work himself into these camp tour shows. How dare he? So he'll be there, and so you have to deal with that. But besides that, we're gonna have a good time, and we got some stuff to give away for you, and it's pretty incredible stuff. Speaking of Richard, he's the one that kind of did all of that, even though he's a political commentator now. He's the one that worked all of the giveaway stuff for those shows. And I'm telling you guys, it's not like your typical radio show giveaways where it's like concert tickets to a band you've never heard of or the minor league baseball game. No, it's like some real stuff that you want to be there for. So if you're in Oxford, come see us, please. Would love to see you. But, after Tuesday, I should be at practice. And so that'll be Tuesday's show, by the way. We'll actually get to talk about that. It will not be live though, cause I'll be driving back. I've got a snip, snap, Oxford back, but that is okay. Glad you guys are here. We're talking about training camp tonight. What have we learned so far after 1 week of practice? Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already, wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And wherever, you are, if you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment, hit the notification bell as well. Would love to have you guys a part of it wherever and however you can. And this edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. Exit 40 in Brookhaven. But as I tell you guys every single time, you don't have to live in the area to get a great car buying experience. I went nearby, bought a bad car from a place that worked one over on me, is what they did. Now I know that you need to spend more time shopping around and finding a place that will take care of you. That's what Toyota of Brookhaven will do for you. Also, they give you $1,000 off on me if you just tell them that I sent you. Rebel Report, Borky, whatever. Tell them that I sent you $1,000. Boom. Before anything else, great in-house financing, the new Tundra especially. And they have a service department as well if you live in the area, 7 to 7, Monday through Friday, one of the highest rated in the state, because that's Toyota Brookhaven. They will deliver for you. So have we learned anything so far at training camp? Very, very little, but there are some things that are worth talking about based on the public reporting and then, you know, some things that all of you guys, I'm sure, are hearing. Ole Miss closes it off. Mississippi State's even more closed, I think, or as closed as Ole Miss is. And that's more of the common thing around college football. Auburn, though, is pretty open. Got to give Hugh Freeze credit for that. You've got reporters that saw 7-on-7 and stuff like that. Like that, you get real training camp reports out of Auburn, not so much out of Ole Miss, because the media doesn't get to really see anything in the same way that the Auburn media has. So credit to them. But first and foremost, I think the biggest story so far in camp is, I believe Ben Garrett was first on this, that He said that he was hearing that the Luke Haas injury may not be as bad as the original rumor suggested that it was. And if you guys remember when we talked about it, it was like, you know, there's no real confirmation of how long and exactly what the injury is. But if you're talking about surgery in essentially the middle of July, missing half the season doesn't really track. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And sure enough, according to, of course, Ben, at what used to be the Spirit, the Ole Miss On3 site, that there's a chance that that timeline is moved up compared to what the rumor was going around out there. Two things, of course, that makes a lot more sense than what the original quote-unquote rumor was anyway about timeline. And two, obviously, you love to see that, right? It's somebody that apparently tore it up in the spring, has all kinds of potential, really athletic. And then you can go back to really – I know they have other tight ends like Bruckler, and then they've moved over Odom as well. But having those two guys to run two tight end sets with both of them, veteran, experienced, athletic, talented weapons, he and Daquan Wright, of course, that's exciting to me. Like the concept of having both of them on the field at the same time is exciting to me because that one, that should help, you would think, help in the run game. And two, those guys are just weapons and they're mismatches. So having him back possibly in time for Arkansas or Tulane is a hell of a lot better than trying to beat LSU without being full strength at tight end. So that's the biggest thing so far at camp is the pre-camp injury with Haas is possibly not as bad. So credit to Ben on that one. Something else, running back has a chance. Running back has a chance. It's one of the positions that we've talked about a lot this offseason where you've been kind of in wait-and-see mode, and I'm like that with another one. We'll talk about that in a second. But it sounds like running back has a chance to be good again. That has been a position of strength at Ole Miss every year under Lane Kiffin until last year. And even last year, again, Parrish was having a good year, but he was overused and he got hurt. And then all the crap happened after that. There's a chance that they've got three running backs that can really help them and can really play. All of them. Either A, they recruited heavily out of high school and has the talent pedigree, talking about Lacey, and then the other two have experience, right? With Diggs, I know still coming off the injury, apparently has looked good in practice, but he's got a ton of experience. And then Taylor as well has a ton of experience, even though it's at the Sun Belt level. There's a chance there at the running back room. So I'm liking what that is shaping up to be. On paper, it looks like it can be a room that can be good. And so far, it sounds like they have performing to that effect. So that's the second thing. Third thing, I'm still concerned about the secondary. I know that there's some positive reporting coming out of camp about particular guys and how they look and things like that. And look, Pete Golding, if anybody can get a secondary right, it's Pete Golding. What I'm concerned about, though, is the movement. This guy was recruited to play this position. Now he's here. Like the shuffling around at that position concerns me a little bit. And just the lack of guys that have done it at this level or at Ole Miss. I mean, you guys have heard me say before, I think Sage Ryan is better than LSU fans give him credit for. That's one guy that I think you should be relatively confident in compared to some of the others who just simply have not done it at all or at this level. That is still, I know there's been some positivity. I'm still a little bit concerned about the secondary. I've got to hear more before I start talking about how that's a improved position. And then finally, from the Ole Miss perspective, I refuse to believe the offensive line hype. I'm going to double and triple down on that. Not that I think they're going to be bad. It's just, I am not going to buy camp hype about the offensive line until I see it. That is the one area that I know it's kind of, you know, cheesy sports radio guy, but I refuse to give in on offensive line. I'm not going to do it. I will not buy the hype. I am going to wait and see them play before I even do anything about the offensive line like I did with running back, for example. I'm not going to buy it. until proven otherwise. So, yes, there's been some positive things written about the offensive line. And, yes, there's a path for them to be better, right, if both tackles are healthy. That's a good thing because both of them at this level have proven that they can be capable, right? You would think that they've upgraded at center. At least it kind of feels that way. So there's certainly a path, but I'm not going to buy the hype about offensive line until I see it. And then finally, at least Ole Miss is not Tennessee when it comes to the way they're handling training camp. Did you guys see that Tennessee posted a video from training camp of an interception? And they blurred out the quarterback that threw the interception in the video. Did you guys see that? Tennessee, I tweeted about it. If you follow me on Twitter, go find it. Tennessee posted a practice video of an interception, and they blurred the quarterback out. That is so dumb that I almost respect how dumb it is. I know that we've got to protect these training camps like it's freaking Fort Knox or whatever. But the Saints had a full scrimmage today where everybody got to watch Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler throw interceptions. And, maybe they just don't think the fans are smart enough to get it. And not everybody is, but, like, most people's reaction to a training camp interception is, one, your quarterback's not going to spend an entire season throwing zero interceptions. Not going to happen. It is part of the game. The best quarterbacks throw interceptions. And two, it's training camp. Interceptions happen in training camp. They're pushing these guys. They're trying to figure out, you know, what they're capable of. They're doing all kinds of things. They're working on things. And so if a quarterback throws an interception, so what? That's what training camp's for. And to not only not really show anybody what's happening at training camp, but when you do show them something, you blur out the quarterback throwing interceptions. It's just so dumb. College football has gone so far in the wrong direction with how they market itself to its fans. It is absolutely insane. The Packers had an open scrimmage / practice and 60,000 people showed up, which is so cool to me. But blur out the quarterback and throw an interception. Just don't post the video at all if you're going to do that. And of course, their fans are freaking out and trying to figure out who it was and everything like that. What is that? The Streisand effect? Isn't that what that is? Where you draw attention to something that otherwise wouldn't have gotten the attention if you would have just ignored it completely, then like everybody just kind of would have brushed it aside. But since you drew attention to it, now everybody's talking about it. Isn't that the Streisand effect? I think it is. Doesn't matter. Glad Ole Miss is not pulling a Tennessee. Ole Miss is going viral for other practice video reasons. Not bad highlights, just an equipment situation. So anyway, glad you guys are here. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems. If you are a Mississippi business, anywhere in the state, and you need office technology, copiers and printers, mail machines, cloud storage, data security, whatever it is, if it's tech, if it's in the office, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you, and they'll give you an assessment completely on me, absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank, they have locations scattered across the state of Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard, and tell them that I sent you, of course. They'll take care of you, but more importantly, they won't take care of you because you told them why you're there. They'll take care of you regardless of why you're there. They have local loan servicing and decision making, so it's somebody that you sit down with face to face. Priority One Bank makes you their priority every single time. Good news to start. You got a yes. She's way too good for me. I couldn't be more blessed. That's awesome. Austin, congratulations, man. God bless her as well. I'm kidding, of course, man, but that's really exciting. Here's some advice for you. This is the only advice that I am comfortable giving because I am not the kind of person that should be giving anybody advice. Take if her dad or somebody offers you guys money to go elope, do that instead of throwing a big wedding. Just take the money and go to the Caribbean and elope and use it for buying a house because weddings are insane to plan and everybody kind of forgets about them anyway. So if you have that option, take that option. That's the only advice that I've got for you. Otherwise, you're on your own based on the Based on the 2-minute clips from training camp, Ole Miss is the greatest team of all time, and they're going 12-0. Oh, absolutely. Thoughts on the questionable video LSU posted and quickly took down yesterday? Yeah, look, I mean, Twitter did what Twitter does with that. The video people should have known better. That, like, what kind of reaction that would, the fanning of the flames that would create. It was an awful situation that happened at Notre Dame, and I'm sure the video people got a nice lecture about that, because that was just, a misstep on their part from their perspective. From the video crew's perspective, they did a cool highlight video without realizing what that would create. But that's what having Brian Kelly as your coach, when you make reference to that, that's the reaction that you'll get. Last Thursday on the Realignment Show, you said something that got my attention. You said if super conferences come, some might not be taken with. Would we, being Ole Miss, have anything to worry about? Not as long as it's continuing to be run the way it's run. No, you would not. Because it's not about TV markets anymore. Forget the market thing. It's not about markets. It's about how much attention you draw. And those kind of sound like they're the same thing. They're not. I mean, is Boston College really important because they're in Boston? No, that's a very 2014 line of thinking. It's do you have brand power? Do you draw interest? That's what it is. That it's not about TV markets anymore. No, if a super conference happens, as long as Ole Miss continues this level of competency with athletic director and university leadership, and of course winning, it helps. But that's not everything. But that certainly helps. No, I don't think Ole Miss would have something to worry about if super conferences come. Because, look, when it comes to revenue and ratings and attention and stuff like that, Ole Miss is a top 25 football, or really athletic department. It's successful. It draws attention. It draws viewership. It has brand power. Ole Miss is doing very good right now with all of those things. It can go away quickly. It certainly can. But with the way it's run right now, Ole Miss is in fine shape if that day ever comes. Yeah. If I plan on doing a live stream soon, game by game predictions for Ole Miss and maybe some on other teams. Yeah. I'll do the full season thing. We're doing that on the radio show this week. Where we do national champion, SEC champion, Heisman Trophy winner, Connor Lee winner, and I think that's just the four that we do. But yes, we will do an official prediction show as well on the radio show, and once that's done, we'll do that here as well. If you're cutting fat, what happens to Mississippi State? I don't know. What I know is, if that day comes, you want to be on top of your game. You want to be at your best when that day comes. And that's still, Oregon State and Washington State got left behind. I still can't quite figure out why the ACC added Stanford and Cal. Just handed them a life. I mean, just to toss them a flotation device when they were sinking, and no reason to do that. Stanford and Cal in the ACC is so stupid. It makes no sense at all. A very bad mistake on their part. I don't know. I don't know what happens to a Vanderbilt if that day comes. Maybe Nashville's enough to keep them around. I don't know. Market doesn't particularly matter. Nashville may be a different animal. I don't know. I just know that you want to be on top of everything if and when that day comes. I appreciate that, MD Hines. Thank you, man. Thank you. You think Cross might be better as a political commentator? He's quite good at it. He's very good at this whole broadcasting thing. It's almost like he's been doing it for two decades and keeps getting ESPN gigs and has a devout following for a reason. It's almost like he's good at it. Don't tell him I said that, though. I don't want him to think that, like, I respect him or anything. Oh, man. Oh, shit. Nobody tell him I said that. But, no, he's quite good at it. And the reception that he's gotten, I think, with his new venture has been seemingly really good. Everybody I talk to about this, like just people that I run into, like at Primo's and stuff, seem to really like what he's doing. And luckily as well, even though they're just saying it to my face, maybe the message boards feel otherwise, but people seem to like what Hayden and I are doing too. And I don't know. I think it's been really fun and really good. And I'm concerned about me burning myself out this football season, though, now with Friday nights completely occupied. So, I mean, you know, regular work week and then Friday nights and then post game Saturday. And then also, you know, trying to be a dad and a soccer dad this year, just like last year, I guess, and doing all those things. So I hope I don't burn myself out. Sounds kind of dumb, I know. We'll just make sure we drink a lot of coffee. We'll be all right. They had a problem with Prieskorn being hurt to start 2023. They're deeper there now, but getting Haz back that early would be big because Caleb Odom isn't a reliable option, and Wright is really your guy. Yeah, very well said. If they didn't have questions and so many new faces in the secondary, I'd pick them to upset LSU, but I just can't. That's going to be a huge problem. Yeah, and like I said, and maybe it's nothing. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but the amount of shuffling around that's been happening there is concerning to me. Arkansas game is going to be an interesting test early on. Oh, yeah, because, I mean, Green's an athlete. He can scoot. They'll be schemed well. Yeah. Tennessee's taken a major step back this year. They were bad on offense last year, and now they're a mess at quarterback. Going to lose some toss-ups for sure. Let's see. Yeah, you know, it's fun. And I don't think Nico was particularly good last year. And frankly, I don't think he's going to be particularly good for UCLA this year either. But it's very easy in April to say, wow, Josh Heupel, awesome. Look at what he did. Took a stance on principle. Well, what happens if he goes to Mississippi State and loses? I mean, I know they went 2-10 last year, but in SEC football world, going on the road and losing is not an insane thing to think, right? Like, that's not insane. But they'll already probably have a loss by then with Georgia in week three. They still have to go to Tuscaloosa. They still have to go to Florida. They expect playoffs this year. Hope they have another defensive player with Poupal's physical style. His style reminded me of Rodney Harrison. Poupal really made games fun to watch. Linebacker is another position where it sounds like they may have found something with Chambers in particular. But I really like Dottery a lot. Okay, things have the schedule has changed this week. So, okay, no post-practice Tuesday, but Wednesday there will be practice viewing and press conference after. Shoot. Okay, that changes. Unfortunately, changes everything. Oh, well. Okay, sorry about that. Tennessee fans are also so rabid and bitter about their quarterback situation. No wonder they're hiding it. Yeah, no kidding. Austin with the super chat. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you. You're about to get married, though. You might need to save this. I appreciate, though, my friend. Been consistent on this take, and no, I'm not alone. We should move the Egg Bowl up earlier and play the Magnolia Bowl last. You're crazy. You're crazy. I think the LSU game should be on Halloween, always. But I hear you. I think, though, we just simply disagree, and you know I appreciate you. I think your in-state rival should always be last, personally. And LSU should always be Halloween weekend. or the closest to Halloween. Length and girth. Yeah, length and girth. Here we go. Magnolia Bowl. Yep, back to Halloween. Imagine a rivalry week with the Iron Bowl, Magnolia Bowl, Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia, Georgia Tech. Well, hey, Georgia Tech's not good, clean old-fashioned hate anymore. It's the Invesco QQQ Gridiron Football Classic BS from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta because Georgia Tech's giving up a home game to make more money, and 60 of the 70,000 fans in the stadium will be Georgia fans. Maybe won't play a walk-on at running back this year. They didn't have to last year, but they chose to anyway. Going to be a third year in a row where they've talked about the LSU game has major tilt in the season. It's becoming arguably the most important game every year, not just from a rivalry perspective, especially with the location on the schedule. It's just landed at a very appropriate spot for that conversation as well. Love the new running back room. Terrified that we may see a couple of games of Lane Kiffin's play calling, like against Florida, LSU, and Kentucky last year. All go or handing to a backup receiver is insane. We'll see. That is the biggest offseason question, storyline, conversation, and I don't think it's being talked about enough, is the offensive ineptitude in tight games last year, and have they self-scouted enough to fix that? A running game will certainly help that cause. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, that's the thing. It's people talk, well, we'll miss, you know, be able to replace Walter Nolan on defense. I'm not worried about that. It's the other side that I'm worried about, because that's been 2 years with inconsistent offense. It hasn't been exclusively bad, but it's been very inconsistent for 2 years now, and they've got to fix that. And as I say all the time, don't blame Charlie Weiss Jr. for that. Don't blame him for that, because the head coach is an offensive guru with a play sheet and a headset. So if you just always direct it to Weiss, you're bypassing the one that has the most responsibility for this. It's not like, you know, hold Lane Kiffin accountable or else. I'm not being that guy either. But when you talk about Weiss only, you are bypassing the head coach, who's the offensive guy with a headset and play sheet. Every call goes through his headset onto the field. He's either stopping them or endorsing them, right? They're either his decision or he's endorsing the decision. And if that's not how it's set up, then what the hell is he doing? Normal Californians are now sending their kids to SEC schools. No kidding. The growth is insane. Soccer in the winter is the dumbest thing ever in Mississippi. Just put it in the spring. I didn't know they play in the winter. I mean, our local rec league, which is all we're doing, that's fall. It'll start in September. So we're in agreement that Simmons will be better than 2022 Dart. How about 23 Dart? He was relatively polished and carried them early. How do you think he stacks up to that? Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. See, that's such a hard question to answer, because there's two things. There's what I believe is going to happen, right? What I think is going to happen, and then what is fair to expect. I do think I expect him to be better than 22 Dart. I really do. But it's not fair to, if he goes to Lexington and struggles, call him a bum. You know what? I'm trying to make sure that I don't talk about him in ways that makes it unfair, like we have unfair expectations for him. You know what I mean? The ceiling is so incredibly high. So high. But what if he's not there yet? So I don't want to just talk all this hype and Heisman and all that stuff with Austin Simmons, because what if he's not ready yet? It's okay that he's not ready yet. But anyway, what's the best movie I've seen this year? Ooh, I don't watch many movies. I think that I've only watched, gosh, is it only two? Okay, that's not true. New movies. I think I've only watched two this year, and it's the new Lilo and Stitch and then Happy Gilmore. Otherwise, you know, we're just watching, you know, superhero movies on rotation, or Despicable Me 4, stuff like that. I don't really watch movies as much as I'd like to be honest with you. When I think about Carson Beck at Miami, they host Florida in week four. It's a huge game. I think that he's going to be a disappointment again. Heupel has proven he can win consistently. You know, they're kind of in the same boat. Defense carried them to the playoff last year. I've learned a lot already. In your opinion, this team is not quite as talented as last year, but it's a heck of a lot deeper. Taking out Centarian Perkins, who do you think on defense is most likely to end up first team all SEC? Xavien Harris. Absolutely can be that guy. Apparently Ricky Fletcher has made waves. That would be a good development. It's been a while since he's played a lot of football due to injury, of course. And that was at the Sun Belt level, but the talent's there. Once the Titan Stadium is finished, I bet Tennessee Vandy's move there when it's in Nashville. Oh, I bet so much money on that. No, if they're getting new Realtree helmets this year, I believe that would be the case. I think that's the case. I don't know for sure, though. Yes, they should be better, but it is some good, though, that they are 21-5 in the last 2 years with inconsistent offense. Going 10-3 last year was beneficial, even with the failure, if you get me. Absolutely. Has Ole Miss single game tickets gone on sale yet? I don't believe so, because they sold out. And so single game tickets will only be available when the opponent returns their allotment. I guess I could probably check for you, though. Because they sold out season tickets and student tickets. So the only single games that would be available is if an opponent has returned some of their allotment. Now, I would imagine that here, single game tickets, learn more. I'm just going to provide a service for you. Okay, they're not available yet. But you can fill out a form on the website. You can fill out a form that they will alert you if the game that you select is available. So there's the whole list of home games. You can get them to send you a message when single game tickets become available for those games. But like LSU, there's not going to be. Shoot, teams are returning their allotments more than they ever have. So maybe LSU does become available because, again, people are traveling less and less. But there will be your opportunities for sure. Maybe we take too much from the tail end of last year, but the Gator Bowl performance at least keeps goodwill. Yeah, and we talked about it at the time. Because too many people said, they're just playing because they're getting their Grove Collective check. Yes, right? Like that was absolutely part of it, but they played well. Like they were locked in and focused and ready to play. And culturally, I thought that was a good sign that they were able to keep them engaged, even though a lot of guys were only there to collect a check, but they went there and they went and kicked some ass. Like I really liked that about the end of last season was, it kind of felt like the Egg Bowl. They were going through the motions a bit. But they went to Jacksonville with 15,000 people in the stands and played well. I thought that was an encouraging cultural sign. But anyway. Favorite superhero movies. Our favorite superhero movies. Probably Guardians of the Galaxy. The third one is weird. I really didn't like the third one, and he doesn't really like it that much either. The first two are great. I think the second one's his favorite, though. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then Avengers Endgame he loves, because that is when all of literally every superhero comes together to fight. And like, of course he loves that, because that scene when they battle with Thanos' army, with the exception of the cringe, hey, Peter Parker, have something for me? This is the worst acted scene in cinema history, worse than The Room. It was horrible. But the rest of it is awesome, where they all make their entrance through those portals, and it's every superhero that you can think of. He loves that because he's like, Black Panther, and just names them all, and he's yelling and excited. That one's pretty sick. Super Talk having shirts made to give away at the Hattiesburg show. Lost my camera again. We are, but they're not just regular old shirts. They are pretty awesome. We got genteel for you. Come on, camera. What are we doing? Oh, well, we'll hang it up here in a second anyway. I think it's not the camera. I think it's the cord connecting to it. So predictions for Chucky Mullins Award, Daugherty. Daugherty will be that guy. Saw Naked Gun with Liam Neeson last night. Really good. I need to watch it. Top three coldest nights was the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. You've been there for 6 years. Wow. Guess who's making said shirts? You are? Interesting. I did not know we were getting that. But anyway, you guys hear me still? Check, check. You got me? Okay. Whew. Sorry about that. This is a pain in the butt. But anyway, I might as well hang it up here because we're just a screen. There we go. What a joke. Trying to broadcasting on a budget. That's I really should go up to the Super Talk studio for this is what I really should do because we have an incredible studio there. But now that we're doing these late and we got to wake up for school at 6 a.m., you know, most nights it will not be in the cards. So anyway, all right, guys, I appreciate you. We'll be back on. So we will not be live on Tuesday. Depends on if I can get home in time from Oxford. Now that there's no practice, might be getting home in time now that there's no practice on Tuesday. So we'll see. Play it by ear. If we're not live, there will be a video posted at 9 o'clock. Just depends. So see y'all then regardless. And thank you guys for being here. And I will talk to you on the next one. See you then.
Robbie Stewart with East McComb Body Shop, reminding you that it's your choice who repairs your vehicle, not your insurance company. Whether it's East McComb Body Shop or someone else, choose wisely. Call East McComb Body Shop at 601-684-4651, 501 Pearl River Avenue, Macomb.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.